If you love the national parks as much as we do, then we have a book recommendation for you.
Moon USA National Parks Hiking is a brand new guidebook from Moon Travel Guides that covers the top 100 hikes across 40 U.S. national parks.
Whether you want to descend into the Grand Canyon, stroll the shoreline in Acadia, or cling to the cliff edges in Shenandoah, Moon USA National Parks Hiking gives you the inspiration to find the perfect hike for you and the practical planning tips to make it happen. You'll find everything from easy, family-friendly hikes to strenuous, multi-day treks, plus tips for wildlife watching, backpacking, finding solitude, and more.
This book is an essential resource for National Parks fans, as well as a fantastic holiday gift for any outdoorsy people on your list.
You can find Moon USA National Parks Hiking wherever books are sold, or click the link in our show notes. And if you don't already have a copy on your shelf, be sure to also check out the original award-winning best-selling guide that started it all, Moon USA National Parks.
Find your trail and prepare for an unforgettable journey in America's top national parks with Moon Travel Guides. Moon, let your heart be your compass. Let Moon be your guide. Hello and welcome to TrailMix by Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. I'm Mike.
And I'm Dusty. If you're joining us for the first time, TrailMix is the short format episodes of our show, while our long format episodes explore one hiking trail in one national park, one park at a time. Trail Mix allows us to dive deeper into the things we didn't get to cover in our long format episodes, including interviews, history, science, environmental justice, and news about our national parks.
That's right. And this Trail Mix episode is all about the ongoing government shutdown and its impacts on the national parks.
Well. Truly, we thought we had seen the last of you for a long time. But unfortunately, this government shutdown has been like the three before it, all during the presidency of one person, our septuagenarian authoritarian toilet in chief himself. The first of these took place in 2018, then again in 2018 and through the early part of 2019. And finally, in this, the year of our Lord, the singer, not the religious figure, 2025.
Let's be clear. A shutdown is damaging on many fronts, especially to the government workers who are placed on furlough, or in the case of this government shutdown, those whom may be laid off. However, sometimes in an effort to apply pressure to the governing party to reverse or shift course on policy that is damaging to the nation or the citizens of the nation itself, the opposition party may choose to stand their ground in order to exact change.
A great deal of this shutdown is based on the blowback from the legislation known as the Big Beautiful Bill and how it impacts those on Medicaid, as well as the fact that there will be an end to tax credits to the ACA, which were extended through the Inflation Reduction Act, and how it impacts the insurance premiums of those who are using the ACA marketplace. Hence, it skyrockets them.
Democrats want to see an extension of expiring tax credits to the ACA, which make health insurance cheaper for millions of Americans, as well as a reversal to Medicaid cuts, which impact millions of Americans and were originally promised not to be touched by the Republicans. Consequently, both Medicaid and the ACA are incredibly popular with voters who support the Republican Party.
Because these issues have not come to a resolution between the parties, and because the Senate has failed to pass the vote on the spending bill, the government has come to a standstill. While there is headway to be made to advance the push for better health care for U.S. citizens on the part of the Democrats, the Republicans find themselves in a precarious position relating to how to regain political ground with their constituents and independents while also not seeming at fault, even though most voters have agreed that they are.
All this to say, things are messy at the moment, and it's unclear how it all will resolve. In the meantime, some agencies have shuttered or at least furloughed some of their staff or gone partially dark. One agency that is critically impacted by the shutdown is the National Park Service. If you've listened to our episodes Trail Mix, The Joshua Tree Problem and Beyond, and Trail Mix, Government Shutdown Breakdown, you can hear how these government shutdowns in 2018 and 2019 impacted the Park Service.
Well, a lot of these problems are similar. The impact on the parks this year is especially dire as the Park Service, like many undervalued arms of the government by this administration, has come under enormous strain from financial cutbacks to firings to shrinking of park spaces to erasing national history. The NPS has been pummeled with a devastating agenda and an array of ways to undermine what has been consistently dubbed America's best idea.
In this episode, we want to take a look at how the shutdown is different for the parks, what we can do to support the parks and Park Service workers during this period and always, and how the parks and National Park Service move forward from here.
Let's start with how this shutdown is different. I think one thing to note prior to the shutdown is the impact of staffing reductions at the parks, especially heading into the busy summer and fall travel seasons. During the winter of 2025, major reductions in force were felt throughout the public lands from national forests to BLM lands to fish and wildlife lands to national parks.
These staffing reductions made the crowded season for most of these public lands even more crushing on the staff that remained. Not only was the morale low due to loss of personnel, but funding freezes and reduction in supervision on a regional level also hamstringed critical work within the park spaces that needed to be done, as well as stop the purchase of important everyday items for use by employees and visitors.
The funding freezes and loss of regional management were a blow to the parks, but the loss of personnel in the park spaces themselves meant that superintendents and scientists had been doing jobs they were not intended to do, and that in no way relate to the critical missions they have within park spaces. It also meant that a lack of rangers and park law enforcement were unable to attend to keeping the park spaces safe for visitors and wildlife.
During the shutdown, some park spaces are open, but with extremely limited staff, closed facilities, and an inability to keep the park spaces and the visitors safe, even from themselves. While many past superintendents of park spaces have called for an all-out closure of the parks to keep the natural resources safe, Interior Secretary Doug Burgum has insisted the gates stay open.
It is these ill-informed decisions that put the parks themselves at risk. During Toilet No. 2's first term in office, Joshua Tree National Park faced a great deal of irreparable damage in the form of graffiti on rocks and Joshua trees that were run over and damaged due to the lack of ranger supervision.
During the current shutdown, Yosemite has experienced an influx of illegal activity. Some visitors have felt emboldened to partake in illegal acts because of a lack of rangers. Everything from base jumping off El Capitan to climbing Half Dome without permits to squatting illegally in campsites within the parks has taken place in the 3 weeks since the government has been fully shut down.
So there's a lot happening.
Yeah.
Because to put it completely frank, when the government shuts down, people act a fool. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening in the national parks. It's like, oh, okay, all of these rules that we have about campsite reservations, all of that, while yes, there's always criticism about how like it can be gatekeeping to keep mm-hmm. people from being able to access park spaces. It's like they're also there in place to ensure the safety of the people who recreate in the parks and also the park space.
Yeah.
So when the government shuts down and people act a fool, that's when they get hurt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's the problem, right?
Yeah.
That's when they hurt themselves. That's also when they hurt. I mean, the thing about Joshua trees that are so special and that are so specific and that are so important scientifically is that they only grow there.
Well, it's like sequoia trees, too. It's like your habitat, you only have these habitats for these specific things in specific areas, and that's a lot of the reason that those park spaces exist as a way to
preserve that habitat,
preserve those like natural resources, preserve the wildlife that's there. And people come in when there isn't supervision and no one's there to like tell them to do the right thing. People are more than happy to just create chaos and not care about the ramifications because there's no one to find them, arrest them, do anything that is keeping the order of that space.
There's no reason to base jump off of El Capitan. There's no reason to be climbing Half Dome without a permit. Those are incredibly dangerous circumstances to put oneself in.
Right. And others. Because,
and
like,
others.
You hurt yourself, and then because people are furloughed, there's no medical force that's in the parks that's going to be able to help you. And most of the times, you can't even get cell phone service.
No.
So trying to get someone there to be able to assist is costly, and it's also not a guarantee.
No. And the other thing that I find to be very true is people want to act a fool and people want to not follow the rules until they're in trouble. And then they're like, oh my God, I need help. I need help. I need help. And it's like, baby girl, you put yourself in this situation right. in a space where there is no one to help you like that.
Right.
You have created a helpless situation for yourself.
Right.
All of it is so ill-advised. Now, the thing is this, when it comes to recreating outdoors, there are those who, I mean, I feel like the teacher going like, I want to recognize everybody who's consistently
right.
behaving well
right.
and who consistently comes to class prepared. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Like, I feel like
yeah.
that.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
I want to say
as
like,
an educator,
I mean,
I've had that speech several times.
Oh my
this
God.
Week. Yeah.
Right. Right.
And how to send the nice emails home to be like,
feel,
your kids are so wonderful.
Right.
I love them. And then send the mean emails home. That's like, this is the problem. Please talk to your child and review the contract if you need to.
And a government shutdown is not the time to go into any space that is already strained for resources.
Right.
Because I guarantee you, people who are not thinking about packing out their garbage, they're also not thinking about their own human waste
right.
and packing it out. Because, like,
I mean, that was a consistent problem in the past shutdowns.
Yes. I mean, we go into it in another Trail Mix episode about how, like, human waste is a huge problem
yeah.
in backcountry areas.
Yeah.
And, like, they have found bacteria that has been growing in areas where there's just like a huge uptick in human waste in backcountry because they just can't build bathrooms back
right.
there as much as they want because of budget.
Right.
That they're discovering bacteria that will not respond to antibiotics. And it's like, isn't that great?
Mm-hmm.
Don't we want that like floating around?
No.
You know what I mean? Like, so no, we literally have to take our shit elsewhere. So, and we have to be responsible for it.
Yep.
Hey, Mike, you know what I was thinking?
What?
Whether we're hiking trails in national parks or camping, it's so important for us to have a really good cup of coffee in the mornings.
Oh my God. It's the thing that gets us up and gets us going, for sure. And if you haven't tried AeroPress coffee yet, you're in for a treat. AeroPress uses a completely unique brew method. And because of that, you get a delicious cup of coffee that you can only get with AeroPress.
And it's a coffee maker that you can take with you wherever you go, and it doesn't break and it isn't bulky.
AeroPress combines the best qualities of a few coffee brewing methods into one brewer. A little French press, a little pour over, a little espresso, because it takes the best of all three. It just might be the best cup of classic coffee you'll ever drink.
AeroPress was designed to fit your lifestyle. Unlike other brewers, you can take this exceptional coffee anywhere you go and along with any activity you do. Compact, durable, reliable, delicious.
And it's convenient too. It's the fastest single cup coffee maker out there. 2 minutes to brew and clean.
AeroPress is shockingly affordable. Less than $50, and we've got an incredible offer for our listeners. Visit aeropress.com/gaze. That's AEROPRESS.com/gaze, GAZE. Again, that's promo code GAZE, GAZE, for 20% off your order. Hey y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right, it's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across 2 separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season 1 is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala. All in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails!
Despite the awful that has currently hit the national parks and the rangers therein, how can you act as a support to the parks and their staff at this time? Well, first off, if the parks are still open, even though the government is shut down, don't go. This is a simple solution that allows you to support the park spaces by not adding to the problem. Not going means you may have to fully adjust a trip that you've been planning on taking or have booked far in advance. Yeah, it stinks, but we have had to do this twice now with national parks trips, and we have more than recovered.
Yep, it's always a hard pill to swallow, but we do it when it makes the most sense to not go. Not going also means that you won't be adding to what is most likely an already overcrowded park space with a lack of facilities and waste disposal. This means not adding to the trash problem that we can already imagine is an issue, which in turn, if not properly disposed of or carried out, can create a problem for wildlife in the parks.
If you do decide to make the trip, though we are highly suggesting you don't, be a good steward of the land. Use the 7 Leave No Trace principles. Pick up trash you see and pack it out, something that you should do anyway on any national park trip or any natural space, shut down or not. If you feel comfortable and safe, talk to other visitors who may be doing something inappropriate, harmful, or dangerous to themselves or the space around them, or to the landscape and the park in general. Follow all posted signage, especially related to closed trails or closed areas, and don't make any problems for people or for the few rangers who may be on staff in the parks at that time. While not going to the parks impacts the surrounding gateway communities that rely on tourism to the parks, it is the trade-off that must be made in order to ensure the parks themselves remain safe, pristine, and clean. The lack of money to these communities is also being felt by the parks themselves, as it is estimated that every day that the parks are closed, the NPS is losing about $1 million in revenue.
The loss of revenue in both the parks and the surrounding park communities is also keenly felt by rangers and park staff who have been furloughed without pay. Consider making a donation to rangers through the Association of National Park Rangers, Rangers Relief Fund. This fund helps rangers who have lost their job as well as those who may have been impacted by natural disasters. You can also support the parks by donating to the National Park Foundation, where your funds can directly benefit the parks and rangers by extension. If you have a specific favorite national park, many have nonprofits associated with them, which you can seek to donate to, like Glacier Park Conservancy or Yosemite Conservancy.
There is a small contingency of states with national parks in them that are using state funds to keep the parks open and partially staffed. Those states include Colorado, Utah, Tennessee, and West Virginia. Whether these parks are fully staffed through state funds or partially, the issue is a sticky one.
While this helps to keep the parks operating, the trade-off is still a park not operating at its full capacity, and the argument becomes the same as it has in other park spaces where there is limited staff. How safe are these parks for the visitors, and how safe are they from the visitors? The argument on the part of the state governments supplementing pay for the federal employees in order to keep the parks open is that they are doing so in a way that offers some protection to the park while also ensuring the influx of tourism revenue to their state. While this is a sentiment that is well-intentioned, it is perhaps not the most well-aligned.
The other thing that I think is important to consider here is that Colorado, especially Utah, definitely Tennessee, and New River Gorge as well in West Virginia. All of these states have national parks that are sort of like so baked into the culture of what it is to live in those particular areas around those parks. Like there are local people who go to those parks every single day. Right.
And yeah, like they run in them,
they hike in them. They're taking meetings and whatever they're doing. They're in them all the time. It's just like a natural part of life in the same way that Central Park is like an important part of New York City. It's like people are going to Central Park all the time, right? And so these national parks in these particular spaces that we mentioned, Colorado, Utah, Tennessee, West Virginia, it makes sense that those states are going to step in and be like, hi, we're going to take over during this government shutdown because this is just like a huge active part of everybody's lives who live here. You know what I mean? Like, it makes sense for them to be like, no, Rocky Mountain National Park needs to stay open. You know, Zion needs to stay open. You know what I mean? So like, because there's so much happening there already. So I get why they want to keep them open. And I get why they're making ads that say, hey, they're open. You can come. It's okay. But I still think it's a matter of going like, okay, great. Let me find out more. That's a great time to call. That's a great time to talk to somebody at the office and go, okay, what is the deal? And what can I do? And if it's a matter of still going, then it's a matter of you're going, but you're taking on more responsibility personally than you may in other cases. That's what I think.
Yeah, but that's not going to be everyone. And that's
no,
the argument.
No, that's not going to be everybody.
And that's
but
the
I'm
argument
that that's
from the other side. It's like, you're not doing this, like, we get what you're trying to do, but you're not doing it correctly. This is not actually a help. Yeah, there's some staff, but it's not the full range of staff that's actually necessary
no,
to make
it's not.
The park space safe for and from visitors. And so that's the argument. It's like, it's all well and good, but at the same time, it's like, the parks themselves should be shuttered at this time because there isn't a way to fully guarantee their full protection and the full range of services. And I say that like from the perspective of help, there isn't a way to provide that range of services for the visitor that is necessary. And I think that people need to understand that this is not the time to go to these park spaces, whether a state government is keeping them open and propping them up or not. We have reached a point where that's just the reality of it, and you just have to sit it out and wait.
I agree. I agree that this is a sit it out and wait kind of moment. I would say a local person is going to engage with the park differently than a visitor. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like from another place.
Sure.
Though I think a local person that cares very much about that space will most likely recognize that it's like, okay, under-resourced, understaffed.
Exactly.
It'll help
for me
more
not to go.
For me to not go
right.
do
as
my run in this space.
Yeah.
Because, right, if you suddenly need medical care in the middle of your run, in the middle of a park, it's right. like, this is, there's
it's
a lot.
It's not happening. It's the chain of command and the sequence of events that have to happen now are so out of the realm of what they should be.
Correct.
And I just think that, you know, the states are doing this sort of from the perspective of, well, like, we want the parks to stay open for everyone. Like, they should be available. But it's all through the lens of capitalism and keeping revenue flowing. And it's like, you don't want these park communities to suffer. But it's also, again, it just comes back to, like, we have to act out of selflessness as opposed to selfishness here
yes.
when it comes to these spaces, because if you want them to continue to be spaces that are usable and accessible post the shutdown and still existing, then you have to just bite the bullet here and say, okay, I'm not doing that now.
Right. So where do the parks go from here? It is a daunting future for our public lands based off a variety of factors. Not only are the parks more popular than ever, finding an even greater boom during the COVID-19 pandemic, but funding to the parks has either been slashed or in no way addresses the dire shortfall that they are currently facing.
This is not just by way of staffing either. It is the literal shortfall and backlog of projects. The MPS has a deferred maintenance backlog of at least $23.3 billion. This backlog has only increased as facilities and historic spaces have aged and continued to see heavy use and foot traffic. And despite moves to increase visitation fees for foreign visitors or provisions that helped to chip away at the backlog through the Great American Outdoors Act, both pushed by this current president in his separate terms, the issues continue to compound.
And despite these pushes from the sitting president with one hand, with the other, these lands are undervalued, resized, or in many cases, looked at as a potential for capital gain through logging, mining, or land development. There is a lot of Gemini energy happening from this old peepaw, which shouldn't be a surprise because he is one.
The natural splendor of this nation is probably one of its most incredible attributes. Public lands should be spaces that should be highly valued for their intrinsic beauty and all they provide, not just to their environments and ecosystems, but to the people that have the opportunity to experience them.
Like public broadcasting, which has provided educational programming and opportunities for generations of children, are our natural spaces also now on the docket to become completely undervalued, defunded, and hailed as an indoctrinating force?
The hope is that we don't have to answer that question. But as we've seen so often from this administration, the parks often fall incredibly low in the pecking order, especially when they can be viewed as an impediment for capitalism.
So at this time, everybody, especially during a government shutdown, it is a good idea to stay out of the parks.
Right.
I do understand that, like, different parks create different circumstances and rules, and you may call a park and they may say, hey, it's fine, you can come, it's all good. And that's your decision to make with you and the person you're talking to at that park who is staffing it. But at this time, we are not, because we do believe in being stewards of public land. And that goes for any land that we're on. Walking through our neighborhoods, walking in a national park, walking in a city, it doesn't matter. It's shared space. And especially natural space, which is vulnerable. It's already vulnerable to the climate, which is becoming an increasing threat. We're past the point of threat, and it's becoming worse every day. And when we don't have the people, the scientists, and the caretakers, and the infrastructure to keep that environment safe so that our ecosystem can stay balanced, then yeah, we're in real trouble. And anytime we are in a national park, we are visitors to that space, but we are also making an impact. Just being there in a park brings an impact to that park. With every human that walks into that park, we bring things, we bring stuff. Some of that stuff gets left behind. We bring the fumes from cars. We bring the fumes from the airplanes to get to the places. We make an impact. And so I like to think of a government shutdown as a way to go, okay, if there was ever a time to give a park space some space, it's during this time.
Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.